abuse, abortion, and hope. You'll hear about the connections from a psychiatrist next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined, as usual, by our Associate Director, Janet Marana. And today we have a very special friend, a very special guest. His name is Dr. Philip Ney. He comes to us from Victoria, Canada. He has been involved in groundbreaking research into abortion and many different links between abortion and other issues and problems in our society. We'll talk a little bit about that during this program, and even more so about his program for restoring hope and healing. Welcome, Dr. Ney, to the program.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here and to see you both. Nice to see you, Janet.
Thank you.
Well, let's begin with your background and how you came to, first of all, how did you come to become a psychiatrist, and how did you get interested in the abortion issue?
Well, I probably should have been a musician, actually, Frank, but I got into medicine, and when I was in medicine, I was interested in what went on in the brain, so I was going to be a neurosurgeon, but I got into a big fight with the chief neurosurgeon, and I thought, well, there's got to be some other way to get into the brain, so I became a psychiatrist. I became a child psychiatrist.
Okay. And the abortion issue, did that come in early in your practice, or was that something later?
Well, in science, it all begins with observation. So a mother early in my practice, this is way back in the late 60s, the mother in my practice comes and says, Doctor, I have a problem here. I've got a little baby, and he's a beautiful child, and I love him very much, but I can't touch him, and I can't breastfeed him, and I long to breastfeed him. And since I was doing research in child abuse, I thought, we got a problem of bonding. So I look at all the factors that are associated with bonding, bad bonding. But everything checked out well. She had a good pregnancy and a loving husband, a nice home, and a good delivery. But she couldn't touch this baby and consequently couldn't breastfeed him. And she was so disappointed in herself, she was depressed. So as with often, you think of something, and I thank God for the occasional insights he gives me, lots actually. And I asked the mother about all her pregnancies. And, you know, she looked around and she didn't want to answer me. And I thought, what's going on here? Well, she says, I've got this little boy. Yes, I understand that. And what about all the other pregnancies? And again, she's looking around. And then she blurted out, I had an abortion. So I had to think, now, is there any connection between an abortion and bad bonding? And so over the years, almost 40 years now, I've been doing research, and it turns out to be the case that women who have had an abortion prior to another child, statistically, this certainly does not apply to every woman, but statistically, they are more likely to abuse and neglect their subsequent children. So if there's that connection, is it the other way too? And sure enough, women who have been abused and neglected as children more likely choose an abortion for their problem as they see it. Mm-hmm. And so there is a cyclic connection. One thing leads to another, which for an academic means that you've got to deal with both sides of this problem if you're going to help people.
It's ironic because sometimes the supporters and promoters of abortion, certainly more in the past than now, have tried to claim that making abortion more widely available would decrease child abuse.
Yes. Us very old people remember that argument way back in the late 60s and early 70s. If we have freely available abortion, there won't be any unwanted children. And if there are no unwanted children, there will be much less child abuse. Well, the first article I published in this area showed precisely the opposite. The more abortions you had, the more child abuse you had, statistically associated and epidemiologically associated. And people were furious. What are you saying? We know the opposite is true. How could you dare to say a thing like this? And so they attacked me, although the research was valid. It's true.
Now, if people want to read more about this, Dr. Nay, you have published, like you just said, one article you just mentioned, but you've published a great wealth of information, correct?
Well, I have tried to, and I have been reasonably successful. And I thank God that my research has been published, but you will find my research under pregnancy loss. You won't find it under abortion. Why? Because as soon as the editor of a reputable journal sees abortion, he's not going to publish it. And up until recently, it just could not be done. So all us pioneers published research on abortion as pregnancy loss. And if you go to PubMed or something, you won't find me having written very much about abortion. But you'll look under pregnancy loss and you'll see a lot more. It's extraordinarily hard to get any research, no matter how good it is, on abortion published.
Why is that?
You know, it's the old problem, you know, do people want to know the truth? Mm. And of course they say, of course I know the truth. I'm a scientifically oriented person. And the people who are Christians will say, of course I want to know the truth. The truth will set me free. And so I say, all right, would you like to know your IQ? And you see this bit of a hesitation. And people go, do I really want to know my IQ? And only about half the people do. And I say, well, I'm a psychologist in addition to being a psychiatrist, so I can give you an IQ test. Would you like? Well, actually, let's talk about something else. It's curious how people are about wanting to know themselves. And, of course, if they don't want to know themselves, they don't want to know about all the things that they do. People really do not want to know the truth. You and I know that.
So from beginning to see patients like this in your practice and seeing these connections, didn't you develop a program then, like how to treat people who are coming to you who have had abortions?
Right. It had to be done. and that's how we began developing the program now known as Hope Alive. And Hope Alive is an attempt to help women heal. And I say it just like that. We are helping them heal. There is a certain component of healing built into everybody, and even surgeons know that because you put the edges of a wound together, but you don't actually heal that wound. So it's a built-in thing, and God does, he's a healer, and we have a capacity and an opportunity to facilitate that. So anyhow, at a very down period of my life, I wrote this program. And since that time, we have been making it better and analyzing its ability to help people, checking pre and post measures. And it's now been published. It's been presented at major scientific meetings, which is what we have to do as academics. And so it's now becoming a bit more recognized out there. And people say, well, why all the time that you spend on this? Is that really necessary? And I say, yes, it is absolutely necessary. This is a deep and desperate problem. This is not a superficial wound.
Well, you know, recently, you know, Dr. Nay, I came to Mount Joy College in British Columbia, where you live and have your practice and train. And I took part in that first level one training for counselors. And I found it so beneficial just for myself and I think for anybody, because you look inside yourself. And I think what you taught us was you can't look to try to help someone else until you first deal with your own issues. Or even if you think I'm okay,
right,
you're really not okay unless you go back and deal with that stuff and say goodbye to certain things and move on with your life. So I found it fascinating to the depth that it helps you address things. You
know? Good. I'm glad. And we were glad to have you. And all sorts of very bright people that we have from all over the world now. But you're absolutely right. If you, as the tool, you're the tool when you're the counselor, if you're not sharp, you're not going to be able to do a good job. And it's axiomatic in psychotherapy and counseling. If you can't see in yourself certain things, you won't see them in other people. So you've got to be aware of yourself. And yes, it does help people, and I'm glad it does, because they come out not only knowing a technique, but being a different person.
So now, for our viewers, you know, if someone is going to be counseled in the Hope Alive program, what they are is really in a small group setting, right? And it's a 32-week, where you come once a week for 32 weeks. So it's a process by which they examine their lives and they go through different steps of addressing the hurts and the injuries and how to move from there, right?
Right. That is correct. And it's based on a different kind of psychology, which I call the psychology of created humanity. What were humans created for? And then you look at what a person is after they've had an abortion or contributed in some other way to abortion. And then you can see how great is the difference, the discrepancy. Because Christians forget that God created us a little lower than God. In actual Psalm 8 and verse 5, lower than Elohim, which is Jewish Hebrew for God. It can be translated angels, but it's usually translated God. So we've come a long way. And once people get a glimpse of how far they are from the person they were designed to be, then there is great grief, as you know. What a sad, sad story lot we are. And abortion is a primary component of that awfulness, how far we have fallen.
Well, that brings to mind, of course, the title of one of your key books, which we'll talk about after our short break, namely Deeply Damaged. And I look forward to having you explain a little bit more of that for us and for our viewers. But first, friends, we'll take a little break. We're talking with Dr. Philip Ney, and we will be right back.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Well, welcome back, brothers and sisters. We're talking with Dr. Philip Ney, a child psychiatrist and researcher into the implications of abortion for the human species, the damage it does, and the healing and hope that are available. And Dr. Ney, I remember you telling me one time that you're convinced that nothing so deeply damages the human family than abortion. And there's a lot of talk, you know, in our day about family values, how to preserve them, why the disintegration of the family. But what you're saying is quite persuasive as we go through your research, to say that it is at the door of abortion that we can lay so much of the blame for things just going haywire in our society. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Well, it is absolutely correct, and I draw a little triangle in which there's the abortion at the center and all sorts of other circles, including euthanasia and family breakup, that are components of that. But let's take one part of abortion, and this is something that we deal with when we do Hope Alive training and therapy, which is the response to the helpless cry. Every parent out there will remember when they're 18 months old, wakes up in the middle of the night, and it's almost always 2:30, and it's almost always after you've had a hard day, and you know you're going to have a harder one, and you just want to sleep, and you hear this disturbing sound, and, oh, my goodness, can't somebody deal with that? So you get on your feet, and you stumble down the hallway, and you're really, really angry, extraordinarily angry. And then you flick on the light, and there's this poor little thing lying there, and you suddenly change. And it goes from rage to nurture. And that is such a profound change. There is something beautiful, triggered in all of us when we see somebody, something helpless, a kitten or a puppy or even a little piglet. Something about that is beautiful. It changes us in our reaction. It makes us humans. It makes us wiser. It makes us loving. Now, what if that should change? The whole species endangered. Now, because the initial response, which is rage, becomes the terminal response. You begin with anger, and it ends with anger, and babies get killed.
Then we can't survive.
And we can't survive. And so killing begets killing. And what happens, of course, is that once the mother and the father are able to overcome the instinctual restraint to their rage, on one occasion, with respect to their own helpless little baby, they are dangerous. They know that. They know it in themselves. We know that in other people. A mother comes to me and says, "Doctor, I get so angry with my child. They irritate the heck out of me. I could murder them." She laughs and I laugh, right? I know she's not serious, and it's not a thing to be taken seriously. However, if at any one point she has picked up that child and shaken it or hit it hard, now I take it seriously because something has changed. And we know that's true about soldiers. Once they have killed one man, they're different. And once you've participated knowingly in a death, you are a changed person. You've damaged the instinctual restraint to your aggression. So if that's true for babies, it's true for old people. The helplessness of old people should call out the best in us. But no, it calls out euthanasia. Get rid of them. They're Alzheimer's or whatever. So one thing leads to another. And you're right. Abortion is the basis of this. And it's more damaging than anything else I have ever encountered in my practice or ever studied. And I've done a lot of studying.
Now, how many, say, Hope Alive counselors to date, approximate, have you trained?
Worldwide.
Well, I honestly don't know. And the reason I don't know is because we train people at first level to become counselors. Mm-hmm. And then we train them to be supervisors when they come back and they've done counseling a number of times. And then we train them to be trainers. So now we've got people out there training in other countries. And we just haven't bothered to count. In fact, I like it better that way. But 2,000 or 3,000, I guess, or more in about 27 countries. Mm-hmm. And we invite people to our little college on Mount Joy, which has a lovely view of the mountains and the oceans.
Yeah, I saw it. It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
It's worth a visit. And if you stay an extra day or two, you can even go whale watching.
Right.
But I know at the Sound No More Awareness Campaign, our website, we have a link to Hope Alive U.S. And that's where people can find out the counselors in the United States,
right,
where they're located. Because there are quite a few in the United States, I know that.
There are, right.
And I think Sonia is the woman who's in charge of the Hope
that's
Alive U.S.
Yeah. And we have a lot in Ireland, and we have a lot in Poland, and we have a good segment in the Philippines. So there are people being trained in different countries, mm-hmm, Hope Alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, we look forward to having you on future programs because there's so many dimensions of your research that we need to let people understand. Your book, Deeply Damaged, as well as your other resources, we'll make available through our website, gospeloflife.com, and we'll link over to your website and these other resources as well. So thanks for all that you've done and for all that you continue to do. Brothers and sisters, you've been listening to Dr. Philip Ney. We do encourage you to go to gospeloflife.com, where you will see right on our front page the link to his website, his research, and how you can get hold of these very, very important books and articles to help us all understand the deep damage that abortion does and the road to hope and to healing. Stay with us. You're going to hear here on Gospel of Life our invitation to you and to your friends and to your church congregations to support this ministry so that we can get vital information like this out across the nation, around the world. Help us to help others know the reality of abortion and know how to find hope and healing as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
There is a crisis in America. A Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. Janet, today we're going to show our people a very inexpensive way of advertising the pro-life message.
That's right. They're called action cards, and they're available from our good friends here in Denton and from Life Dynamics, and they can get them from them. There's, I think, 48 different messages, and
right.
You can just ask for a whole assortment of them, and this way you can try them on the different things. And
for example, I like this one here. Hey, pick on somebody your own size, a message to America from our unborn children.
That's right. And they're great little ways of getting a pro-life message out that we know the media will not let us do. So, for example, you're eating in a restaurant, and there's always, you know, the bill comes and you sign the check. Well, you take one of these little action cards, and after you've put your taken your credit card back out and you've leave the nice little tip in there, put this with the tip.
Exactly.
And leave the restaurant. So now that person opens it up and says, you know, it's a wrong, it's a right. Stop abortion now. There's another one. And you've given a pro-life message.
Or this one here, some choices are better left to God.
Right.
God bless America. For this we pray, even as we butcher his babies by the millions. Think about it. They make people think,
That's right. These cards.
Very short. It takes a second to read it. And even if somebody doesn't want the message, by the time they realize it's a pro-life message, they've gotten the message.
Right. And, of course, now you can be a little more creative. Let's think of places that people are in and out of just every day all the time. So let's talk about bathrooms. All right. In the ladies' room, you're in the stall there. There's always a little ledge to put your purse in, on or whatever. I leave a card there. Because someone else is going to come along and pick it up and read this one, for example. How long does an abortion last? Forever.
And this one here. Well, duh. It's actually pretty easy to be pro-choice as long as you're not the one being chosen. It's something that is, it's a lot of fun to do. You can leave them in public libraries. And pro-lifers should always have some of these cards on them. In the glove compartment of their car, in their wallet, in their purse. Anywhere when they're about to, when it's, sometimes we see an opportunity to use them that we didn't anticipate.
That's right.
And so we should always have them ready to use.
Well, and you know, Father, speaking of libraries, you know, what I've done is I go into the library of the section on abortion, and you will always see there's so many books that are on the other side of the fence, you know, pro-abortion
yes.
rhetoric. And what I do is, again, take one of these cards, take a stack, I start opening the book, and each book I put a couple of cards in with the different messages,
right.
and then leave.
That's
I've
right.
done that where once a month I come in and do a book check
yes.
and
yes.
put them in the book.
Well, listen to this one. Mommy Don't, a message about abortion brought to you by America's unborn children.
Right.
These cards give a voice to the children, and they also give us the image of the children. There's
That's
one
right.
particular card, the most powerful of them all, mm-hmm. that actually shows the image of an aborted baby at approximately 10 weeks, and that's the area and at the time at which most of these abortions are happening. And friends, we have to get the message out like this.
Right, and this is what the card says, Father. It says, the face of choice. And see, that's the point. This word abortion or the word choice, you know, it's lost all meaning to people, and we really need to say to them, look, this is what is being chosen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to talk about freedom of choosing what flavor ice cream you want. This is the choice. So I really want to encourage people to order these action cards and use them.
Is abortion terrorism? It all depends on which end of the knife you're on. Right. Well, thanks, Janet, for bringing our attention to these action cards. Please order them, friends. Go to our website, gospeloflife.com. You'll see how you can order them there from our friends at Life Dynamics. Well, I also want to tell you about the will to live. This is a document that has to do with end-of-life medical decisions, a document by which you can appoint someone to speak for you if you can't speak for yourself. And this document will protect you from the terrible trend these days that deprives us of the protection even of our lives if we're not careful. Don't sign a living will. Use the will to live instead. And again, you'll find information at gospeloflife.com. Well, friends, as we conclude our program today, I thank you for watching. And now we want to again remind you why we have this program. We want to show you the face and the results of abortion in our land. Watch these disturbing images and then ask God what He wants you to do to build a culture of life. God bless you.
Not until people saw images of children in coal mines did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life, because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help. There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please, call, write, or make your gift online today. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.